God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke and said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. The breaking news is odd. I mean, quite a time we live in, right? Or in which we live. But this is some odd breaking news. A federal district court judge has ruled that egg prices must go back up. Gotcha, didn't I? Came from the Babylon Bee. But I gotcha, didn't I? How many honestly thought they did? How many were not surprised? That's par for the course. I heard the news, and we're blessed to have great, great news people at AFR at the top of the hour, that the goal here is to slow things down, to put sand in the wheels. Well, that's obviously true. And John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and I'm going to talk a bunch about this tomorrow. John Roberts has a Christian duty. He took an oath to the United States Constitution, and he took that oath not to the Constitution, rather, but to God. God help him. He can sit in D.C. and allow this chaos to continue. Because it's chaos, and I'll go into this much deeper tomorrow. I'm reading an article from 1973 about this, where a judge actually decided to take control of war tactics, literally saying, you can't run that battle this way. A judge. And it was very quickly shut down by the Supreme Court, which they could do here. And again, we'll get into this tomorrow, but we are right now a nation with 679 presidents. I did the math wrong the other day. 677 judicial seats, federal district court seats. And it's really difficult to find out how many of those are filled. Plus a Supreme Court, that's 678 presidents, plus President Trump, that's 679. When district court judges can willy-nilly seize foreign policy, military hiring and firing, all executive branch issues, funding, a judge now says the EPA has to give $20 billion of money handed out in the closing days of the Biden regime to be parked at a bank to hand out to organizations simply to pay off Democrat donors and activists and grifters, despite what the new administration wants. You have 679 presidents. But it's worse than this. President Trump is unequivocally in charge of the executive branch, and if he were to go and say, through executive order, to Chief Justice John Roberts, hey, John, you need some new ethics rules. Here they are. Here's the new ethics rules for the courts, for the Supreme Court. Roberts would say, this is a separation of power issues. The Supreme Court, Chief Justice, and his power structure run the Supreme Court. So no, Mr. President, I'm not going to change the ethics rules. Trump could say a constitutional crisis. We're not talking about constitutional issues. When things exist within the executive branch, we're not talking about constitutional issues. Oh, I know the excuse. Well, Congress gave these agencies this money to do this. Right. That's before we came in and said, oh, this is fraud. If you want to believe Congress is acting in good faith, and I don't, everybody knows about the money laundering. We didn't know the extent that it exists, but we knew it existed. And the way NGOs are set up. When a new administration comes in and says this is fraud, and judges say, yeah, but the fraud has to continue, they are seizing control of the executive branch. I said more than I don't want to do on this today. It is deeply disconcerting to me because we're always told, oh, there's a constitutional crisis coming. No, you're in it. We're in a midst of what is going to be a judicial coup unless John Roberts hears this very clearly. Chief Justice, we see you. And we can use simple logic. And it goes like this. If a district court can take national issues and issue national decisions, why do we need a Supreme Court? In which you can say, well, the Supreme Court's the tiebreaker in these cases. Great, then why do we need the district courts? It's that simple. And as a Christian man, you have an obligation to keep your oath. And we can also just test the spirits here. Let's do that. Is God a God of chaos or God of law and order? Which one, Chief Justice Roberts? Now, you see, all around us, we are seeing the results of chaos. And Satan can distract, he can distort, he can depress. Satan will take the tiniest toehold he can get, and he will crawl through your entire life or your entire culture. There were times, and I lived through them, where people who were same-sex attracted were treated in the most horrible ways, with horrible name-calling, horrible bullying, sometimes far worse than that. I went to high school with a man. He's now a man. I mean, I was a boy when he went to high school. Who had a close relative who was found to have been in same-sex activity. It was discovered. High school boys discovered this. They saw these two boys. They took one of those boys and inflicted physical degradation and harm on him. I cannot possibly communicate it to you. There is no way. I can tell you what you're thinking might be almost as bad. He lived, but had to get to an emergency room and has never been the same. So there was time when this occurred and it was ungodly and horrible then, and it cannot come back. I mean, there was a time, of course, where women thought to be adulteresses were stoned to death, and that was at a time okay, and then Jesus came. Now, that time, thank God, in most places is gone, both with same-sex attracted and opposite-sex attracted sexual sin. But Satan took what was light. Don't abuse people because of this. So don't murder people. Don't. And that tiny little bit of light he hid. And so we will discuss that there were same-sex attracted people throughout history who made great contributions. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. This is part of who they were. If we're going to study the people, let's study them. Well, but then maybe what we could do is promote this a little bit. And Satan takes a toehold. We're not going to promote adultery or fornication, really, but let's promote it in same-sex activity. And this is just to help, and then Satan will just crawl through the organizations till you get to the point where there are bosses of government schools saying, yeah, you know what? That book is pornography. Yes, it is. It's clearly pornography, but kids need to have pornography. You think I'm kidding here? I ran audio on my Seattle-based radio show because I could not get this woman to come on. She was an assistant boss of the government schools. She wrote a paper about how it's vitally important for disabled students and students of color to have free access to pornography. Vitally important. Now, think through this. For disabled students and students of color to have free pornography. Why? She didn't say. It's just that they're marginalized. Therefore, they should get addicted to the dopamine hits of pornography. She wrote that paper and then she gave a speech at a Planned Parenthood event. Planned Parenthood had pushed the pornographic sex ed into the schools in the separate country of Washington State and many of the countries, like California and Oregon. And once they got those laws passed, they celebrated them. And then they made the curriculum available for free. Why? Because curriculum is expensive. And curriculum that meets these so-called standards is very expensive since most of it doesn't exist. Enter Planned Parenthood. So this woman gave this speech and she said there are parents, and she described them as I'm paraphrasing here, but she described us as radical conservatives and extreme Christians and fundamentalists. And she said there are fundamentalists, extreme Christians, extreme conservatives who will pull their kids out of sex ed class. That's okay, because we're going to have this material in math class. We're going to have it in geography. We're going to have it in science. We're going to have it in PE. They can take their kids out of school, but they can't opt out of this. We're going to have it in English and literature and science. That was all on purpose. Something happens to culture. As Satan gets this toehold and turns it into a stronghold, and now culture is a place in schools where sexual activity is promoted, something happens to these cultures. Look, I can tell you, because I spent a lot of time in gym culture. It is a tempting thing for people who go to the gym to become obsessed with flesh. It's tempting. And look, there are people who work out in the mirrors most of them are just bodybuilders. They want to make sure they got the muscle growing in the right way. I want to have that grace. Gosh knows I've got a forest of logs growing out of my face. I probably should deal with my own sin problems first. But it's a short walk from my bicep is developing well to I am a human god. It's a short walk from I've developed my core nicely to, wow, lots of guys are paying attention to me. It's a short walk, particularly when Satan is pushing you through the walk. So gym cultures change. School culture is being changed. Now, if you're driving by, let's say, you're looking to go out to dinner one night, and you're new to town, and you're driving through town, and you look over here to your right, there's a restaurant that's got bright flashing lights and it says real live girls and there's a bunch of guys standing outside but it says all you can eat pizza and fried chicken and all your favorite guilt foods. If you're a Christian man and you're driving by that, you're probably going to go, I love fried chicken and pizza, but I am not meant to be in there. Right? Now, however, if you walk, you drive up the street, and you go in, there's no flashing lights and there's no outward signs that things are bad. You might go into this place and observe the culture. Okay, so there's some drunken people over there and looks like there's a kind of a pickup joint over there. So me and my buddies, we're going to sit over here. So the hostess says, where would you like to see it? As far away from that as possible. Why? Well, because you don't want to be exposed to that culture. Likewise, deal-making culture, corner-cutting cultures. Okay, so cultures are built and they attract certain people. Brands know this. You know, brands know what to, successful brands know how to brand their restaurants and their clubs and their gyms, and they think through these things. Do you honestly think that Planned Parenthood isn't a brand? I mean, do we honestly want to believe that Planned Parenthood didn't start handing out STD drugs because they knew they were getting the business of giving people STDs? That Planned Parenthood that kills children and then sells their bodily tissues even as the hearts are still beating? That they weren't building a brand and it's in the schools now? When we come back, we'll go from this pseudo-political monologue and we'll be in the world and not of it, starting with what is happening in the government schools by design of a culture built for people who want to exploit children. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Years ago, when I used to spend a lot of time in New York City, I would want to try different restaurants because I was there sometimes for a week. And so I'd go out to dinner with a friend or go out to dinner with colleagues. And then I'd want to go try a place on my own. And I wanted to have good old-fashioned Irish food. It was around St. Patrick's Day. I wouldn't go to an Irish restaurant in New York on St. Patrick's Day because you wouldn't get in. It'd be jammed. And so I just walked through a part of town that happened to have three Irish restaurants. And I read the menus at two of them. I thought, okay, yeah, there's some stuff I could eat in here. I'm pretty careful about what I eat. But there's some things I could definitely eat in here. And I stuck my head in one. And just opened the door, looked, and okay, wow, how are they getting away with smoking in here? Oh, I see. They've got a little garden out back, a lot of cigarette smoke coming in. What do I see? A lot of young guys, pretty energetic, pretty lit. Not a lot of women, and certainly not families, and pretty loud, and some, you know, guys kind of pushing each other around lightly, no fights. Not my place. Maybe when I was a young kid, okay. And I went to the next place. Pretty similar menu, opened their door, and no smoke. And there's some families and a mix of men and women, and I don't see anyone doing the googly eyes thing. It's not a pickup joint. It's none of that. There's some, and even a few tourists sitting up front. And you can tell the tourists because they got bags of stuff. And so I went in there. What was I doing? It was just a quick culture check. Right? Culture is, if it's well built, it's observable as a place you should join or not. And cultures are constructed, sometimes mindfully. And I contend that what is being done to our government schools is being done mindfully. I contend that it's on purpose. I contend that it's a spiritual war. I contend that it's purposeful. I contend that the changing of the schools from a place that safeguards children into a place that exploits them is part of a long-term move to change the culture of America from a culture that says we don't exploit children sexually to, well, it's okay because they're adults just in little bodies. Now, some of this is a prima facie fact. The whole invention of the phrase MAP, minor attracted person, is just that. It's a rebrand of pedophile. It's purposeful. They're attaching themselves to so-called transgenderism, which was also purposeful. So who would drive this? See, this is always the thing when you say, well, that's a conspiracy theory. Well, it's not a theory. The culture in schools is being changed. This curricula is being provided. It is changing kids' psyches. These are the exact things that groomers do. This is what pedophiles do, is they start very, very carefully. They take a toehold with a kid. It's a sex joke, and then it's a sexual cartoon, and then it's a picture that's a picture of a naked person, and then it's a video, and then the video comes with a little touch on the knee, and then there's this secret, and then there's just don't tell your parents. And it's just very careful. It's just like Satan taking a toehold and making a stronghold. All of a sudden, this kid is doing this. They can feel awful about it, and most of them do. And yet they can't tell. There's your school district. Not all of them, but all too many. Just started in class. And we've normalized now talking about perverse sex acts in class. And one day after school, a student walks up to a teacher and says, I have a question for you. I'm not comfortable telling my parents. Okay, sweetie, shut the door. Okay, I tried some things with a friend and, oh, well, that's very normal. You know, you're very mature for your age. I'm sorry that your parents don't see your maturity. You really have a lot of wisdom. I think I could learn a lot from you. Is that creepy? Was that creepy? That should be creepy. It's reality. The schools have been prepped for environments that invite people who want to sexually exploit children and for people who have allowed Satan into their lives as a toehold and perhaps it's private use of pornography, a toehold. And they're in these schools, and Satan is going to go from that toe hold to a foot hold to an ankle hold to a leg hold to a body hold to a stronghold. And the move here is funded. Planned Parenthood helped fund this perverse pornographic sex ed. And we don't need to question the motives of Planned Parenthood. Their motives are clear. Eugenics, profit. Margaret Sanger was at least flirted with Satanism, was involved in sexual occult practices. This is her history. She was a racist. She was a woman in whom the fruits of the spirit did not appear evident to me. So they're funding this, and what do they get? Gender-confused and gender-defiant kids walking through their doors and getting what the kids think is free, wrong-sex hormones. But, of course, someone paid for it. That would be you and me, through tax dollars. They get to do abortions more often. It was 2010 when Planned Parenthood started running ads about how it's very, very normal to have sexually transmitted diseases. And, in fact, it's something of which to be proud. I mean, look at you. You're an up-and-comer, a young teenager, and you've already had sexual experiences. You're one of the cool kids. And now this is in the schools. So the environment's been prepped. So now, if you are a person who has the sin issue of being pedophilic, or as we're told is now the new phrase, a minor-attracted person, meaning a pedophile, and you are shopping for a job, why not be a teacher? I mean, the Catholic Church is getting in trouble because they got caught. Well, not they, but some churches and some bishops and some priests got caught. The same problem exists in the public school, by the way, to a far greater extent, but that never makes the news. Libs of TikTok has done a great job of exposing this in great storytelling ways. In this case, just by grabbing some news footage. All Chaya's organization did was retweet this. Now, this is a long clip. I want you to know that. It is a frightening clip. And I should have said this at the top of the segment. If you have little kids, be thoughtful as to what they hear. I should have said that at the top of the segment. God forgive me. If our family, please forgive me for not having issued that warning. A female teacher groomed the student and the staff helped. Here's how.
Colorado investigator Sean Boyd uncovered documents that show school officials helped an underage student declare herself homeless so she could move in with a teacher. Sean Boyd joins us now to talk more on this. And Sean, she was not homeless.
No, and the school district admits that those involved knew that, yet they helped a student fill out a federal form that said she was homeless, then hid it from her parents so she could move in with a teacher. And that's just the beginning.
There's like this icky feeling that something's wrong. And then as it progressed, it only got worse.
Heather McCormick says there were red flags at Columbine High School long before the school district hired investigators who found teacher Leanne Carney had been grooming a female student. McCormick is friends with that student's mother.
And there wasn't one person who like stood up and was like, something doesn't seem right, and reached out to the parents.
Instead, school emails obtained through an open records request show counselors purposefully kept the parents in the dark while they helped their daughter fill out a federal form declaring herself homeless so she could move in with a teacher.
I think it's really scary that we can take teenagers or children of any age and just say, whatever you say is truth, we're not going to investigate it. We're going to take big steps to declare you homeless without notifying your family.
Investigators say Principal Scott Christie also knew about the girl's plans and didn't tell her parents. McCormick says the mom stumbled upon the homeless document while cleaning her daughter's room and later found a letter describing her daughter kissing Carney, along with thousands of calls and texts between the two. She says she sent Carney a message warning her it needed to stop and then took the calls and texts to the principal, who she says dismissed them, telling her Miss Carney takes interest in helping kids navigate their sexuality.
You think the school would have reacted differently had Carney been a male teacher?
Oh, absolutely.
Carney quit, but it would take 2 years and pressure from the mom before she lost her teaching license. McCormick says her friend lost far more. When her daughter turned 18, she moved out of state with the teacher.
It's really scary to think that there are schools and teachers and administrations that are working behind your back, not in the best interest of your child.
Jeffco School District sent me a statement saying, obviously, the student did not meet the criteria to be considered homeless, and the staff involved in this isolated incident were addressed as part of the investigation, as the proper channels in place were not followed. While we have taken every step to remove this former employee from Jeffco and prevent her working in another educational setting, we recognize this is of little comfort to the family. We deeply regret how profoundly this violation has affected the family. The district also says it's changed policies to ensure that this doesn't happen again.
No, you haven't. That policy will change when you stop sexualizing the classroom. People are policy. I mean, what's the policy going to be? Please don't groom students and start sexual relationships with them anymore. That's wrong. That's the policy now. That was the policy then. Every adult involved in this was involved in trafficking. Trafficking. Trafficking laws don't say you have to make a profit from it. This was self-evident when I lived in the separate country of Washington and they were changing the culture in the schools to do this. And I talked to people, Jim Fuda. Jim Fuda spent his life with Crime Stoppers. He was a former police officer, moved under Crime Stoppers International. He came on my program and I asked him, Jim, I sent you the curricula. You've looked at it. Will this make life easier for pedophiles? He said, absolutely. It's a dream for them. It's a dream for them. Satan takes a toehold, makes it a foothold, makes it a leg hold, makes it a stronghold. And incidentally, it's not lost on me that that was Columbine High School. I mean, did you catch that part in Colorado? That Columbine? This is all due respect to the people of Colorado. I would actually probably fly down. I'm not a deliverance pastor. Been through deliverance, changed my life. I'd probably fly down and get around that school with you and hold hands and try to pray the demonic out of there. Oh, there is a follow-up. Okay. Again, this is a longer piece than we'd normally run, but I want you to have the full context on this so that when a right-wing, bitter-clinging, Idaho, hill-living, hillbilly lunatic like me says, the school environments have been prepped in a way that would welcome pedophiles, you might think I'm a tiny bit less crazy. Here's an update on the school, which is now being criminally investigated.
The Jeffco Sheriff's Office has launched a criminal investigation at Columbine High School.
This comes after your investigator, Sean Boyd, found school officials falsely claimed a student was homeless so that she could move in with a teacher. Sean joins us now, and Sean, that may not have been the only motivation here.
Yeah, you've learned Jeffco receives thousands of dollars for students who are homeless.
Right. The school district insists this decision had nothing to do with money, but the more homeless students a district has, the more funding it's eligible for. The girl's mother believes the district used her daughter for financial gain. We aren't identifying the mom to protect the privacy of her other kids.
It's not a story. This is a nightmare.
A nightmare. This mother wouldn't wish on anyone.
I would suggest this, and I've made this suggestion before, and I will just hearken back to a time. This is so... Gosh, this can sound so prideful, so please, please forgive me. God gave me an opportunity to be on Rush Limbaugh's program maybe 200 times as a guest host. Maybe not that much, maybe 150, I'll have to look, but for many, many years. And towards the end of Rush's life, 1 week per month, no, pardon me, 2 weeks per month I was blessed with. And I got to meet his great team, James and Craig and Allie, and gosh, the people there are so incredible. But in any case, I made this suggestion one day on the program. Regards to sex ed, go into the school districts and go to the school board meetings and read it into the record. Make them respond to it. Make them live in the world they are prescribing for others. Praise God. God arranged for people to do that. It's made an effect on some schools. Some schools have been forced to change. I am asking you to do this. If an adult exposes your child to sexual content that can reasonably be called pornographic, and so many of these books can be, press criminal charges. It is still illegal in most states to have indecent contact with kids, which in many states includes showing them pornography. Charge these teachers criminally and insist that the police follow up. Get a report number. If they don't follow up, go in and push and make noise and take this to the police chiefs' unions. Take this to the higher-ups. There are cops there who will follow up on this, because even in the separate country of Washington, and you'll hear a story coming up Friday, a family, a father and his daughter are fighting the separate country of Washington at the DOJ level on some of this stuff. Even in that fallen state, it is still illegal for adults to avail children of pornographic content. Please take the step and file the criminal charges. And if those teachers are arrested and frog marched out of the school, perhaps they'll have to face a justice system that might actually find a judge who'll do something. They'll at least be arrested. Perhaps. One would hope. We'll come back with a personal note and a Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. This is a Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower of Babbling and a personal note here. We were just talking about in this program today, we've been discussing how our school system has been under attack. I think it has been a well-run, very organized effort. And well, let's look at it. It's funded. The perverse pornographic sex ed in the schools is really well funded. It's not just Planned Parenthood. There's the Human Rights Campaign, which is run by two men, one of whom is a convicted pedophile. The other is almost certainly a pedophile. They worked on the gender madness stuff. And truly on behalf of Big Pharma, you can just watch how their investments change from hotels to pharma and medical devices ahead of this con on kids. That's funded. The pornographic sex ed is funded by Planned Parenthood and some of their derivatives. They're benefiting from STD drugs, by more abortions, by gender-confused kids, so much money. And then the schools are being used as this now culture that encourages sexual contact. I mean, it doesn't encourage it, but it is a breeding ground that will enable it, normalize it. And we're seeing the poison fruits of that. And so schools, how are they benefiting? They get funding. They get to use their money for other things. The people who are pushing this perverse pornographic sex ed, they bring it into the schools. Oh, and hey, here's some money to go to some retreats and learn about this stuff. And so, look, the love of money is the root of evil. Not money itself, we know, but making money an idol, making sexuality an idol, making gender an idol. All of this is idol making. And it's easy to get depressed. Wow, Satan's winning. No, he's not. He doesn't. We know he's not winning because he doesn't win. Because we've read the end of the book, the Bible. He doesn't win. He's being revealed. And sometimes this begins as people change a political view. And very often in changing that political view, they begin to look back and go, boy, I was really conned. Now, just be clear, please. The Republican Party is not a godly party. Just full stop. If it was godly, it wouldn't have had people of false face giving prayers at the convention. There's many things that they back that are ungodly. It's far better than the Democrats. Far, far better. But our hope is not in political parties. Clearly, it's in Jesus and his blood. Clearly, that's where it resides. And when people are awakened to the lies of the Democrat Party, which are universally anti-God, abortion is the taking of an innocent life. God's view on human sexuality is profoundly different from what the left would push, which is if it feels good, do it. And if it involves a child, well, then be careful. So much of what they believe is ungodly. Kamala Harris running on a platform of more porn for young men, for instance. That was part of her platform in the closing days of her quixotic campaign. So young people are noticing this. President Trump and the Republicans are seeing a massive increase in voter ID with young people. Democrats are losing voter IDs and voter registrations precipitously. And let's boil this down into one experience. This young woman explains why she left the Democrat Party.
The reason I am so critical of the Democratic Party right now is because I literally just left it, just like a lot of other people. I was a bleeding heart liberal like all of you. I mean, blue hair and everything. I mean, believe me, I have plenty of pictures proving that I was all in. But let me tell you what changed my mind. The big moment for me was when the left started trying to push this like Nazi Hitler fascism narrative that they're trying to push right now. Like what y'all actually did is made a lot of us really go research Trump even harder. And we started to realize that a lot of things that you guys had shown us about Trump and things that he had said were taken way out of context. A lot of us started noticing a pattern where you guys were showing us like little 10-second clips of a 10-minute conversation that did not reflect the entirety of that conversation at all. So that was number one. And then around Thanksgiving, all of a sudden you guys are telling us that it would be better for us to sit at home and spend the holidays with no one than it would be to go home to your family who voted for Trump. When I heard that, I was like, okay, now y'all are wilding, because you cannot tell me that it is better for your mental health to sit at home alone than it is to go and spend time with your friends and family. Y'all had actual therapists getting on TV and telling you guys this. And the sad thing is that it would have been better for them to encourage you to do something like find other people that believe the same as you to spend the holidays with, but they didn't. They told you to stay in your home and spend the holidays with no one. When that happened, I was like, okay, I gotta give this party a second look because something is not right here. But honestly, if you wanna know the truth, what really did it for me is realizing how freaking depressed I was when I was functioning as a liberal. Liberalism will literally make you hate yourself. It will make you hate your family. It will make you hate your friends. It will make you hate everything about the world.
There are people who are liberal and happy and loving people, and right now they're miserable. When there is no God in your mind, or when there is a false God in your mind, how do you have a peace that transcends all understanding? Why wouldn't you be afraid and terrified if there was no ultimate authority above all this? If there was no benevolent God saying, this is a season of fire through which your country needs to go through because it's been so corrupt for so long. So pray for those folks, please. As difficult as it can be, given what God is allowing to happen here, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents the Tower of Babbling.
Hey, if you have an issue with trans women being in cis woman sports, you're either not a real athlete, because any real athlete would welcome a challenge and welcome the opportunity to show that they're better than the other person, or two, you're a sore loser, or just not an athlete in general. So,
that's so funny. Three soundbites. Is that not picking on the production? That was a great clip to introduce the Tower Babbling. I was actually responding to that person and that statement. Man, I could riff on that. Maybe I will one day. Let's get to the soundbites. First soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Catherine Clark still doesn't understand what contributed to her party losing the election.
First of all, for the security of families at home, and we are united in that. And this parlor game here about, you know, most American people, they can't name us. They don't know who Chuck Schumer is, but they do know what this administration and Elon Musk and the GOP are planning for them. And it's why you're seeing this uproar in town halls.
Uproar. Paid agitators, in most cases, going to town hall meetings, reading from the same script you guys produce for them, And the uproar of people burning Teslas to the ground, some of them owned by Democrats who simply bought a car. You are not popular. And it's because people can see you really do scream a lot about extremism for a party that's saying, we want government waste. And fraud, by the way. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Senator Joni Ernst got booed by swamp creatures because she revealed how much money Doge had saved.
From Iowa.
Mr. President, since January, Doge has saved $115 billion. That amounts to $714 per taxpayer.
They're booing the saving of money, is one way to put it. They're booing because, hey, that's our money, is another way to put it. Last soundbite today's Tower Babbling. Minnesota Democratic Rep. Lee Fink described pregnancy resource centers as hotbeds for the patriarchal right-wing Christian extremism.
These places are dangerous. Unregulated, non-medical service providers with no HIPAA protections and no real fundamental understanding of the services they're providing. Maybe that's what you think about them. Or maybe you think that they are part of an extremist, patriarchal, right-wing religious agenda to spread the gospel through what I don't even understand how that would work.
Oh my gosh, I am so sorry for breaking my professional decorum as a professional talk radio host. He caught himself. Pregnancy centers are non-medical, right-wing spreading the guy. Whoops. Yep. How would that work? Minnesota Rep. Lee Fink, who I think is pretending to be a different gender. It might work like this. A woman decides to keep her child. The pregnancy center comes around her with support for clothing and food and schooling and job training and really well-run Christian centers like this, pregnancy centers, will shift gears into babysitting and education, job training, and introduction to a church community. And very often women will say, why are you doing this? Because Jesus loved me first, and I get to love you. There's that old saying, and I don't know that we really know who authored it, share the gospel with everyone you know, and when necessary, use words. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
Okay, I'm going to just border on bragging here, and this could seem prideful, but I'm going to do it because I hope that I will allow myself to get out of my way and provide you with something that occurred to me afterwards. So, on a personal note today, this was the first year I got to complete the CrossFit Open. Now, if you don't like CrossFit, you're wrong. You're a horrible... No, I understand it. A lot of people just don't understand it. It is about being fit in any and all arenas to increase our work capacity across broad time and modal spectrum. So to be able to take on the knowable and the unknowable and the known and the unknown. Because I had injuries the last 3 years, a sinus surgery, left shoulder surgery, right shoulder surgery, I was not able to compete in the CrossFit Open in any real way. It's hard to do one-handed or with a sinus thing that's leaking brain juice. So it wasn't really brain juice. I got to compete this year, and this is an online competition. Millions of people do this. And in my particular age group and class, which was scaled 55 through 59, there's probably in our country, I understood, this is what I understand, to be like 30,000 guys. And to do well in this was a great cap on a lot of work I did over 4.5 years with a lot of help. And when that result came, it also came at another time. This is so fascinating to me. I went into a gym to do this, and it's not my normal gym. When I went in, I found myself surrounded by godly men. Some of them I know well, as in really well. Very dear, close friends, Ben, who is unbelievably athletic and skilled and strong and godly. And he was there to provide support. A guy named Pat was there. Pat has been on the podium as CrossFit athlete, master's athlete many years. Pat Sprague, unbelievably godly man. Just so kind to help me. His son James won the games last year, was there. This sounds like name dropping, but it's not. There's only one name I'm dropping, and that's Jesus. So I went through these three workouts. They're fairly intense, even at a scaled level. I'm here to tell you, if you don't do this stuff, you may think scaled's easy. It's not. And I placed 19th in the world, 9th in the country, and 3rd in the Western United States. And the last workout I did was the same weights that Pat did. Same setup. And he walked with me through the workout. And was there pushing and advising, move with purpose, straight to the bar, change your rep scheme, do this, coaching me. A professional athlete. I got done with this, looked up at the clock. I wasn't that satisfied. I'd been too cautious on the deadlift portion of this, way too cautious. Pat came over and embraced me. That is a great time, brother. Praise God. My friend Ben came out. He was busy working with a client, but he came out enough to give me a hug and say, "You killed it. Praise God." There was a young man I don't know there very well, but he came over and said, "Sir, that was fun to watch. You were strutting." I said, "Is that good?" He goes, "Yeah, that's good. That's good." I said, "You know what? I was worried about the deadlifts. That's why I was doing the rip and drop because I've had a back issue." And he goes, "How's your back?" "No, it's good." You know what he said? "Praise God." To be around godly men who are treating their bodies as a temple in a positive way, that's where I want to be. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. Until we all speak again together. May the peace of God that transcends all understanding rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been The Disciples View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.